Well, this morning, as we find ourselves in between a number of different holidays, some holidays that are fairly obscure, some of them that we're very familiar with, like Christmas and then New Year's coming up, but other ones, I figured we'd start off this morning with a little holiday quiz to kind of test our knowledge on some of the more obscure holidays that we celebrate. And there are a lot of really obscure ones, so I didn't go out there so far. So let's start off with Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo is a celebration that A, is 5 days before May starts, 50 days after May ends, the day after Cuatro de Mayo, or it's about the lack of buoyancy found in mayonnaise. Cinco de Mayo. See, First Service didn't get that one. I thought that's a good one. So, but they didn't laugh. So either they didn't get it, or they just didn't think it was funny. I'm just going to think that they didn't get it. So that's funny right there. I don't care who you are. So what is the answer there? It's the day after Cuatro de Mayo, which Cuatro de Mayo is not really a celebration. It's just the 4th of May. So the 5th of May. MLK Day. MLK Day is the day that Martin Luther became King of England. The day Martin Luther King was born. The day Martin Luther King's son was born. Or it's National Milk Day. National Milk Day. There we go. Okay, what's the answer? Yes, C. Martin Luther King Jr. There we go. All right, so Sweetest Day. Sweetest Day is a day that is 182.5 days. Now, just in case you wondered, that's like half of 365. There we go. 182.5 days away from the most sour day, which happens to be about 3 weeks after National Milk Day, just in case you were wondering. Or it is a day to help the Hallmark employees survive between Mother's Day, which is in May, and Valentine's Day, which is the following February. So October is just secretly placed in between those 2 months. And or D, a southern holiday. I skipped C. A day where women give gifts to the men in their lives, the man in their lives. Hopefully, it's the man in their lives. And D, a southern holiday celebrated by competitions on who can make the sweetest tea. I like that one, but unfortunately, that's not the right answer. What is it? B. Yes, I would have to agree. B would be the correct answer, but officially it is C. So, and our last one, Boxing Day. Boxing Day, yes, today. Boxing Day is a day dedicated to light, middle, and heavyweight boxers. Get to put the gloves on for a day. A day where you pack up all of your not-what-I-wanted gifts to return them back for store credit. So it's called Boxing Day because you're boxing all of your gifts up that you don't want, taking them back. So that's another way, because it's the day after Christmas, Boxing Day. A day where boxes that Christmas presents were given in are to be recycled. So it's an official green day. You know, not like the group, but an actual green day. So you recycle the boxes. Or it is a day of benevolence and charity. D. Boxing Day. Today is Boxing Day, if you didn't know that. So happy Boxing Day, all of you. Boxing Day on the 26th of December. Now, there are a lot of theories as to where this day came from in history. Generally speaking, it is a day where money and other gifts are given to those who are in need, to the needy, to those who are in service positions, to the poor. Some believe that it came from the early Christian era where they had metal boxes and they were placed outside the churches, and they were placed there to collect special offerings for the poor, and that was tied to the celebration of the Feast of St. Stephen, which happens about this time. And that was also later connected to the boxes that were called alms for the poor. If you guys remember that statement being used before, that's those boxes kind of evolved into that. So some people believe that that's where Boxing Day kind of came from, or the name came from that. Another theory comes from the Age of Exploration, where they would priests would take a Christmas box and would place it on a ship, one of the sailing vessels, before they headed out to do their exploration voyage. Those two words were coming out at the same time. And they would put the box there, and the sailors then would put money in the box to receive good luck, to receive good fortune on their trip. And if they returned back, then what they would do is they would take that box, the old Christmas box with money in it from the sailors, and they would return it to the priest, and then the following Christmas he would take the money from that box and distribute it to the poor. So that's another theory behind where Boxing Day came from or where it got its name. Another theory was that in England and countries like that that had a very strong class separation, on Christmas Day, the servants would work. They'd work extra hard because the family would have their family over and they'd have a big meal and big celebration, much like we had yesterday, except we don't have servants, okay? Some of you have kids that are old enough to, you know, do some of those things, but back then they had servants, and so what they would do is they would work them hard on Christmas Day, but then the day after Christmas, the servants would get that day off, and what they would do is they would give them a box of some of the leftovers from the feast the day before, or a box of goodies or gifts of appreciation, and they would send their servants home with a box on the 26th of December to celebrate. So whatever the connection is, it is a holiday about helping those who are in need. Call it benevolence, call it charity, call it Boxing Day. It's a day that we should pay more attention to as Christians. We celebrated God's gift of Jesus in this Christmas season. Those of you in your homes yesterday with family, and I'm hoping that that was a central theme among your celebration as Christians. It should have been. And that reminded us of the gift of God, but not only was God's gift of Jesus a sacrifice, God's gift of Jesus was more than just a sacrifice. Jesus' life was an example for his followers. So in the manger, not only did we get the gift of Jesus and his sacrifice, but we got the gift of Jesus as an example for us. I'd like to read a small portion here out of Philippians. A lot of you will be very familiar with this. Philippians chapter 2. Starting with verse 4, it says, "Each of you should not look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Boxing Day. Right there, Philippians chapter 2. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." So we know where we get this understanding, this attitude that supports this concept of Boxing Day. "Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." That's our example. That's our example. Now, I'm not telling you anything new. For most of you, you're not learning anything new. And I don't know, we had a discussion in between services, patronize, patronize. I don't want to patronize. Is that the correct, what we determined? I think I said patronize. I want to patronize you this morning. I believe there are a lot of things that you know, and a lot of what we're talking about here at the beginning of the message, there are things that you know. I'm simply reminding you of them. And I believe it's a time of the year where we need to be reminded of some of these things. We need to be reminded that God's gift of Jesus wasn't just a sacrifice for our sins, though that was the reason he came. There are other reasons behind that. And we got an example out of Jesus on how we should live, what we should do. That we should value others above ourselves, that we should care for others. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God, and then the second is like it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. See, caring for others is something that we know that God desires for us. God desires for his people to look after others and not just themselves. Once again, you know that. I'm just simply reminding you of something that you already know. Stories like the Good Samaritan, where Jesus illustrates this understanding of loving your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? Jesus illustrates it through the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is anyone around you who is in need. That's who your neighbor is. That's who you are to love. That's who you are to give to help out. Anyone who's around you who's in need, that's who your neighbor is. You know that. I'm just reminding you. This is what God wants from us. We also know that God enjoys watching his people give as a reflection of his generosity and Jesus' example. We know that. I'm reminded of a story in the Gospels. A story in the Gospels where Jesus goes to the temple and he specifically sits and he watches. I think this will do just fine. I'm going to need to get a volunteer. Dan, can I borrow you?
All right.
There you go. Now, I'm going to give you that. Now, Dan is going to be an actor this morning, and he's going to have to be a very good actor, because what I need Dan to do, Dan, you need to be the best poor old widow that you can be.
Widow?
A widow, yes. A poor old widow. Poor. Can you do it? All right. We got a wig in the back. If you like. Well, you guys are going to have to use your imagination, okay? And I've given him two gold coins, and I'm going to hand this back here to Peggy, and Peggy, if you would, just go and pass that to Dan. And what we're doing, we're reenacting that. No, wait a minute. No, hold on just a minute. What we're doing is we're reenacting something that actually happened. Jesus went to the temple and he was watching. And what he was doing, he was watching people give their offering. Can you imagine? I mean, we just had our time of offering here and the bags were passed. Can you imagine if Jesus pulled up a stool and just sat right on your row and just watched you as you gave your offering? Well, wouldn't it feel a little odd? Isn't that what he does, though? Isn't he watching us every time we do something? Okay. So he's sitting there and he's watching people as they give their offering. And you can pass the plate, okay? And they weren't passing the plate, but we're just modernizing this a little bit. All right. Drop those in there so I can hear them. All right. There we go. Two little copper coins. Now, two pennies is really an exaggeration of how much that was. In fact, that's more of an exaggeration than Dan being in a poor old widow, because those two coins that widow gave was less than what a penny would be. And so she gave those two little copper coins. Now do that again, Dan. Let's hear that. Let's hear it, okay? There it is. All right, this is Jesus' reaction. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. I felt like doing some gymnastics there. A little pommel horse stuff here. Thank you, Dan. But that was Jesus' reaction. Jesus' reaction was, there it is. That's what I've been looking for. And he says in Mark chapter 12 is where we find the story. He says, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. Jesus was excited about this, and he brought the disciples' attention to this. And if you go and you read, I encourage you to do this later, read Mark chapter 12. Jesus specifically goes and sits and watches. And I wonder what he was watching for. I wonder what he was looking for. It says that there were many that came before her that were rich and they put large amounts in there, but she gave this teeny tiny amount. And Jesus gets excited about it. And he shares. We're told elsewhere in the Bible that God loves a cheerful giver. We know that God enjoys watching his people give to others. We know that. That's not something that's new to us this morning. I'm just simply reminding you of something that you already know. So if Boxing Day is a holiday that celebrates this act of charity, this act of benevolence, this that we know that God loves, this that was Jesus' example, to give, to care for others, to put others above ourselves, to not just look to our own interests, but to look to the interests of others, then why, as a Christian nation, do we not put more emphasis on this day? I was told by someone in the first service, the reason is because we left England and it was an English holiday, which is true. In England, in the UK, in Australia, and just to the north of us, in Canada, they celebrate this holiday. In fact, it's a federal holiday. Banks are closed on Boxing Day. In fact, because Boxing Day happens today and Christmas happened yesterday, then what's going to happen is banks and offices, whatnot, will be closed on Monday in observance of Christmas and be closed Tuesday in observance of Boxing Day. And if Boxing Day happens to fall on a Monday and Christmas on a Sunday, the rule is that they will celebrate Boxing Day and then take Tuesday off for Christmas so they don't bump it because of Christmas. Boxing Day. Who would have known? I mean, some of you didn't even have a clue what Boxing Day was until 10 minutes ago. Some of you are going to go home and look at your calendars. You're going to think, that preacher's lying to me. No Boxing Day on there. And maybe it's not on some of the more Americanized calendars, but the calendars I've seen, it's there. Boxing Day. December 26th. So my challenge to you this morning, is that you make next year Boxing Day for you. Not just a day, but that we celebrate Boxing Day during the whole year of 2011. All year next year. Some of you guys are going to be making New Year's resolutions coming up here in a few days. And so let me plant one in there for you. Why don't you make a New Year's resolution to make Boxing Day your yearly attitude for next year? And this is the attitude that God's people should have year-round. So let's unpack this little idea. And I'd like to give you something. This is kind of cheesy, but I am a preacher, so I can get away with cheesy sometimes. All right. So we're doing a preacher three. You know what that is, right? A, B, C. One, two, three. 3 points. This is how you can start to use Boxing Day in your life. And there we got a little rhyme thing going over on. Okay, the first one is prepare. Just prepare. Make a box. So anything in a box? What are you talking about? I'll unpack this a little bit, but the first part of it is prepare. Because you got to plan your work and work your plan. You never plan to fail. You do what? You fail to plan. So you got to prepare. You got to think about this, and you got to take some action to get things started, to get the ball rolling. And so I want to encourage you to make a box. What this is a tangible object, some sort of tangible thing that will remind you that you have set aside some things to give. All right, let me give you some examples. For some of you, it might be monetary. Maybe you've got some finances, or you like to give. You like to do financial gifts for people and help out people when they're in trouble. What you do is you just put a jar, or you get a special savings account in your bank. And that's for your Boxing Day year-round. And you just put money in that jar regularly. You put money in that jar. You sacrifice a little bit regularly. So when the day comes when you hear about someone that they're going to have their electric shut off and they just don't know what to do, and they're saying, well, I just need $200 to pay my electric bill. It's been a rough winter and I got laid off. And you've got a jar over here that's already got $500 in it. You're thinking, I can do that. I can bless them because I've prepared. I've set something aside. So you go and you grab that $200 and you say, hey, the Lord has put it on my heart months ago to prepare for this day, and I want to give you this $200 so you can pay for your electric bill. How awesome wouldn't that be? Boxing Day year round. Okay, maybe it's not money. Maybe money's not your thing. Maybe you're really skilled. So I want to encourage you to carry a toolbox around with you in your truck or in your car, in your trunk. And whatever trade you got, if you're a plumber, plumbing tools, or if you're a carpenter, carpenter tools, or if you're good at fixing cars, whatever it is, and that's your reminder. And maybe you leave one tool up on your bathroom sink. Right there is a reminder that I need to make sure that I leave some time in my day just in case something comes up and I get a chance to use that toolbox. And you take what skills you've got and you give to someone else. You make a box. You prepare. I'm ready. Find out someone's got cold pipes and their pipes burst and they've got water and they've got a plumbing issue and they have no clue what to do about it. I got my toolbox right with me. I'll be right over. Give me a half an hour. How cool is that? Instead of being in that situation and saying, you know what, I'd really like to help them, but I'm just slam busy and I don't have my tools together. They're scattered all over the place, or they're all left at work and it's the weekend. And prepare. Get a little box. Keep them right there with you. Be able to take that around. Now, there's a line there, it could be, and there's a couple lines there. That's for you to fill in yourself, because I want you to be creative, and I'm praying that God will give you creative, tangible things that you guys can use. Maybe you're good at cooking. Maybe you cook some killer brownies, all right? Or maybe you bake some serious stuff in the oven and it's just delicious stuff. Take a spatula and hang it up in your bathroom right beside the mirror. People are going to think that's weird. That's all right, because they'll ask. Say, well, I'm celebrating Boxing Day. They'll say, well, what is that? Well, it's actually just the 26th of December, but I'm celebrating it all year round. And what it is, it's a day of charity. It's a day of giving. And I'm a good cook. Well, yeah, you are a good cook, because if they're at your house, they probably know you're a good cook. And you can open up and you can say, you know what? I want to share the gift of Christ all year round by taking the gift that he gave me and share it with others. And you find out that we've got ministries here that you can get plugged into. We've got a ministry here in the pastoral care ministry that cooks food for people who have been in the hospital. Get on the list. Help out with that. Maybe it's yard work. Maybe you enjoy doing yard work. Maybe you love being out there mowing grass or raking leaves or whatever. And maybe you need to just take a little plastic cup of mulch and just set it right there on your bathroom counter, right there on your bedroom, right there on the dresser, or maybe on your bedside table. As a reminder that when you hear about something, you hear about someone that's in need. Someone goes in and they've had surgery and they can't get out and mow their grass. You find out about that. Man, I love mowing grass. I love getting out and doing that. And you go do that. And that leads us into our second part there. So you prepare, and then you're aware. Okay? Got the rhyming thing going on here. Prepare and be aware. That means that you're on the lookout. So be on the lookout for places and ways that you might be able to bless others based on the contents of your box. Whatever your box is that you've prepared mentally and you've prepared whatever you can do physically, you're prepared and you're aware now. You're listening. You're listening for that conversation when you walk by and you hear about someone's got busted water pipes. Hey, I got my toolbox in the car. I can come right over this afternoon. How cool. What if it's a complete stranger? Even more cool. Why'd you do this? Well, because Jesus gave his life for me, and this is the attitude that Christians should have. And we don't have enough Christians out there with attitudes like this, so I'm kind of trying to make up for the rest of them. You're walking by, and you hear someone talking about how they're down on their luck, and they can't pay for their electric bill, and you're aware of that because you've prepared, and you've got your ears open and your eyes open, and you're looking for those things. You hear about someone that needs some yard work done, or they've gone in, they're going to have surgery, and I just don't know how I'm going to take care of this or that. And you know because you've had your tangible reminder in front of you. And we need tangible reminders. We've got in a few minutes communion coming up. A reminder that God instated once a week. Why? Because he knew we would forget. Actually, it's once every time we get together. We just do it once a week because that's as often as we get together as a large group. We need reminders. You need to remember that you've set aside this year to be boxing year. So prepare, be aware. And the last one, you guys probably know what this one is. Care. Prepare, be aware, care. Do it. Actually do what you've set aside to do. Care for people. Habitually give out of your box. Habitually, not just once or twice. You got some money in the jar and you give it out to someone else. You replenish that money so that you're ready for the next time. And you're caring for people. You're using this. You're using the gift of Christ and what he has done to your heart to do for others, to bless others, to be a blessing to their life. So do it. Just care. Be what the church should be. Be what the church once was. We claim to be a first century church. We claim to be a church that's based off of the church that was in Acts. Well, the church in Acts, according to chapter 2, verse 44, says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Church, let me encourage you. May this year be boxing year. As our eyes have been enlightened this morning to what Boxing Day is. And we've simply been reminded that that's what God wants of his people. That's the attitude God wants. That's the heart. Those are the eyes, the ears, and the hands that God wants. Be the church that represents Christ in 2011. Be the church today that represents Christ.